Sometimes. Because the only time he had ever spoken to me, you know, he's rather amused to listen to this, and that I'd remembered it.
Yeah.
So they were the most. There were just the three of us.
Yeah. And so right for dinner, just the
three. Just the three of us. He tried to get these other officers, you know. So eventually, it came time for us to go home to be relieved, and of course we were alongside. And I flogged the ship's company and painted up. And I was going to take back a smart ship, but she was a smart ship. Mm-hmm. She really was. Even old Harry DeWolf came alongside one side. We were alongside one day, and he came aboard just as Herbert and I were running up to greet him at the gangway. He stepped into the after canopy, mm-hmm. and he looked around, and you know, and we'd been fighting all during the war, and yet it was spotless. And he turned round and he said to Rayner, he said, "How do you do it?" And Herbert looked, "Greg," he said, "How do you do what?" And Harry just waved his hand around. And Herbert, and I give him full mark, just pointed to me. And Harry said to Herbert, "Do you want to swap?" And I'm not going to tell you who his number one was. And I was determined she'd be a smart ship.
Yeah.
So, it was Sunday, and the troops were dressed in number ones for a change. We'd gone to church and prayers for the first time in ages.
Yeah.
And the captain had gone off somewhere to talk with Captain Lee. The previous evening, the wardroom had entertained two boating wrens. And I must give them full marks.
Those boating wrens?
Two boating wrens.
They're marvellous.
They really were, that served our ship and served us well. And we invited them to dinner.
Yeah.
We dined when we could in the Huron wardroom. And, you know, I wanted them. I ran a top wardroom. Mm. Mind you, we never had an angry word in there except once.
Yeah.
And that was me on one occasion. But, you know, I wouldn't let them take oilskins in there. I said, "This is our home." I said, "Oilskins and catch would be outside. And any time I went in, any catch would lay, I'd throw them out." Yeah. I said, "This is our home." But we had a very, very happy wardroom. And I still get letters from them.
Yeah.
And anyway, the captain was off somewhere. And the troops were around, sitting on bollards, talking with their wren friends. And... the only thing funny about this dinner, we made the girls put on bow ties, and they took their time. And our captain was dining, Captain D, and so after dinner, Captain D was invited down. He was astonished to find the wrens
wearing bow ties.
He thought it rather nice. He said, "Well, let's adopt that." And when we left harbour, they manned their boat and gave us a pipe as we passed.
That's nice.
But anyway, on this Sunday, the troops were sitting around, and Myrtle used to send me pound boxes of Laura Secord chocolates, which were prized beyond measure. And she'd recently sent one, and I thought, well, I'll take this around to Mrs. Dowdy. So,
yes, she wouldn't have seen it for ages.
I had one calling card left, and on it wrote, I said, "With the compliments and grateful thanks of Lieutenant Patrick D. Budge, Royal Canadian Navy." And I went around and I gave the steward. I said, "Will you please give this to Mrs. Dowding?" And off I went. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Admiral, knowing that Huron was sailing, left his office and said, "Well, I think we'll go down and say goodbye to Budge before they sail." And he went down and was horrified when he walked past the jetty, and there were the troops talking to him, and they yelled. They'd hardly ever seen an Admiral. And in any case, they weren't going to stand up for him anyway. And he was a little cross about that. And he went to the gangway. And we had some splendid VR officers. They were splendid. But the niceties, they hadn't had a chance to learn. Now, when your captain's not on board, and your first lieutenant's on board, and you're off to the watch, and you've got a senior officer either at the bottom of the gangway or at the foot of the brow, you go and tell him, "I beg your pardon, sir, but my captain's ashore."
Yeah.
And this particular officer just waited there, and the admiral had shouted over there, "Is your captain on board?" Because you couldn't very well ask for the first lieutenant.
No.
And so this officer said, "I'm sorry, he's done it wrong." So he said, "Is your first lieutenant on board?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, bloody well, get your ship's company up and doing the, yeah. You know, look at him, loafing around here." And off he went. Yeah. And that was the last I heard of Arthur Ninian Doughty. So there we are. Anyway, we finally came back to Halifax, and I was given a job by this...
this is 44 now.
Yes, this... this is
before ship. Normandy.
Yes. No, after. After.
After Normandy.
And you'll find all about Normandy in the records.
Okay.
And...
not much left.
No, that's true. There's not much left. I just about got a quarter of an hour. And after a short period, standing by and giving tips on Nootka, I enjoyed it because I was able to get some rest at home and meet with my daughter, whom I hardly knew.
See your wife?
And my wife,
you
of course.
Hardly see.
And after 3 months, I was given 18 months seniority as a lieutenant, promoted to acting lieutenant commander and given command of the Ottawa. And so I took over Ottawa at New Brunswick with Nibs Cogden as my...
I know Nibs.
As my number one. He's a good officer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Nibs a very, very capable officer. And I was given a job escorting individual ships from 70, well, so, you know, into New York and places like that. There were two of us. Yeah. I was the junior officer of the two with a VR lieutenant commander who was a damn capable Davenport.
The captain of the other destroyer?
The other destroyer. And we carried that out for some time. And then came I was laying alongside getting refitted with engines underway. And I'm not quite sure whether the Germans had given... Yes, the Germans had given in, and then Magnusson blew up the Bedford Basin. Birdseed Magnusson. Did you know Magnusson? Mm-hmm. Oh, Birdseed Magnusson. He sang, had a very good voice.
What's his name?
Magnusson.
Yeah, but M-A-G-N-E-S-O-N.
Yeah.
Do you call him Birdseed?
Yes, because he was a pre-war VR whom I had as an AB.
Yeah.
He became an officer as a sub-lieutenant, and I remember him in peacetime meeting us with sword and sub-lieutenant and frock coat in St. John. He sang on the local radio, and he became an officer, and as a commander was given in command of Bedford Basin when it blew up. You remember?
Yeah.
You remember when they...
I do.
The stored ammunition caught a fire?
My father was up there trying to put it out. He was RCE. OCS Robertson was up there trying to put it out, too.
Yes, well, he was QHM then.
Yeah.
But Magnusson was in command of the ordnance
of
depot.
Yeah.
The ammunition, the magazine, rather.
Yeah.
And shortly afterwards, I was told to take command of Gatineau, in which Savvy Davidson, remember Davidson, Jeff Davidson, took over Ottawa. I took over Gatineau, and they took off three-quarters of the ship's company and filled her up with UNDVs, and they said, "Go around with Esquimalt and beat these guys over there. Give them a good showing."
So is it VJ Day as well?
VJ Day had occurred, and by the grace of God, my ship got away without any black marks in VJ Day. And so we passed successfully. We were actually at sea for the VJ Day. And so I took over Gatineau with this load of UNTDs and a commander.
Jeez, the commands are coming thick and fast now, aren't they?
Yeah, there they are. This VR commander was an agricultural professor who was given, because of his association with universities, was given the rank of commander, and he sort of liaised the UNTD.
That's Bill Fowler.
No, I'm not going to give you his name, because in Bermuda we were entertained by the governor, and he took out cigarettes and started lighting them, and I kept on kicking him under the table. And finally, the governor said, "If you don't mind, we don't smoke until the king has been toasted." And I'd been kicking this guy, and he looked at me, kept on looking at me. But anyway, I brought her round to Squiremont, and she was paid off, and I took over first lieutenant of Naden, hence the dinner up at Royal Roads, and then ultimately training commander, and then
of the cruiser
of Ontario, which I took over, and all I'm going to say about it is that I took it over under very, very difficult conditions at Nanoose Bay in an emergency in which my predecessor was relieved. That's all I'm going to say about
that. Sorry, there was a pierhead jump, I know.
A pierhead
jump. Then I was in Crescent when you were in that cruiser, and you had Arneson as engineer officer, and Eric Earnshaw.
Yes,
we had some great skylarks in the past.
Yes, indeed. Yes. See?
So
I was not really happy in that ship. Well, the only one. She was difficult. It was the end of the war. People were unsettled. The troops were unsettled. Some of the officers, still thought the war was on. And, you know, we were trying to bring back a little style into the Navy, and it was resisted.
Yes. Yeah, they were difficult years. It was, sure, I know.
And then, while we were down in Cuba, Guantanamo.
Yeah.
I was relieved in Guantanamo and sent to Cornwallis, a place I had never worked so hard in my life and enjoyed very much. And that's where I'm going to leave you, Hal.
Well, let me leave you a little bit higher up the ladder. It was on a day like today, many years ago, when you were Commodore of the Barracks, that I came in one morning and the parade ground was a sheet of ice. And I phoned you. I said, "It's the gunnery officer, sir." You said, "Morning, guns." I said, "The parade ground is a sheet of ice. I think we should cancel divisions." You said, "Nonsense, guns. It's good for the troops to get out a bit of fresh air. We'd have divisions." I said, "Aye, aye, sir," there being no other reply. So I hung up and I phoned the bandmaster and I said, "Do you know how to play the skater's waltz?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, when the Commodore inspects the guard today, play Skater's Waltz." And you went out to the guard and he started Skater's Waltz and you turned and pointed at me and you said, "You did that?" And I said, "Did what, sir?"